The following is a presentation of Real Racing USA.
This is O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
All right, Jerry, we're back here with the O'Reilly ASA Fastlane.
Ron Varney, welcome to the ASA Fastlane Show. The O'Reilly ASA Fastlane Show.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on today.
Well, you know, we debated, every week we debate whether we're going to try to call Ron Varney and have him on, and Terry will say, one week he'll say, no, let's wait a few more weeks, and then next week I'll say, let's wait a couple more weeks, see how things shake out. Well, now we figured it was time. We dilly-dallied enough. and, you know, Ron, I got to tell you, the one thing, and Terry will attest to this, everybody that we have on this show, and, you know, we talk to the drivers off the air as well, you know, and you've got to feel good about the kind of support you're getting from these drivers, because they really do like what you and Sandy are doing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, with the response we've gotten in the South this year, it's just been incredible. And, you know, the North Series and the Challenge Series, they've always been strong, and the loyalty of the racers. And, you know, it is overwhelming at times.
Yeah,
overwhelming as it is, I think, and I talked to you earlier when we were doing the pre-production for the show, I talked to you earlier about you're doing all the right things for the racer. I mean, the cost of the engines, the cost of the electronics, the suspension pieces, the tires, it's just, you're hitting everything, the nail on the head to me. Now, Ron, when you got all this started, and how long has it been, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
Well, actually, this is the fifth year.
Fifth year.
Yeah.
Okay, when you got all this started, did you consult with anybody about what you wanted to do or anything, any old drivers, ex-officials, or is this pretty much your whole ball of wax?
Well, I mean, we had the basic idea, and what we did here in Michigan is we invited some of the most respected drivers in the industry into a closed-door meeting and said, guys, if you had a rule book that you could design right now, what would you do? And We sat in a room for probably about 4 or 5 hours, and we threw ideas together, and that's really how we came up with the cost savings on shocks and brakes and things like that, and it was really born out of that meeting.
Did you
are you at liberty to say some of a name or two of the drivers that was there?
Well, I mean, we had people like Freddie Campbell was there, and Mark Cortz, who was a local guy there, and you know, I'll be honest with you, some of them slipped my mind, but I mean, there was we took a cross section of the top drivers in Michigan at that time and asked them, you know, again, what would they do if they could design a car in a series with a blank sheet of paper, and this is pretty much what we came up with.
Well, you can't get any bigger than Freddie Campbell.
No, I mean, he is you know, a Michigan Hall of Fame sports driver, and you know, he's one of the best, and his son Brian is carrying on tradition very, very well.
Right.
Ron, what was your background before you got involved with the ASA? What's a little bit about your background prior to that?
Well, I'm a third generation racer. I started with my grandfather, who was a car owner for a lot of years. He had guys like Benny Parsons drive for him, and Harold Fair, and a lot of Michigan legends that drove for him back in the day, and then my father and my uncle all drove, so we kind of grew up watching them, and then I started driving, and my brother, and you know, I became a car owner with my brother driving for me, and you know, we were racing in a series called the Iceman Series in Michigan and Ohio, and that was kind of on its last leg, and that's kind of where the idea of starting a series came from.
So you've been around this really all your life.
Yeah, I mean, some of my earliest memories are at the Mount Clemens Speedway in Michigan, you know, from the time I was probably 4 or 5 years old.
So now you had mentioned about the South, you know, a couple of times you've referred to the South and the excitement. Is the response been better than what you expected?
It is. It, you know, it, it, you know, we knew the first year was going to be a struggle because everybody was kind of on the sidelines going, yeah, we've heard it all before, but we're going to wait and see. So we knew the first year was going to be a struggle. When we came out of the gate this year and hit 40-plus cars at the first three events, it far surpassed, every expectation we had.
Yeah.
I hear about guys building cars and going to race next year, you know, even more. And, you know, I just, that, like I said earlier, that kind of support is sometimes overwhelming to me that, well, people will come out and embrace what we've got going on because they believe in it.
Yeah, we totally understand that. You know, I'm in Florida, you know, and a lot of these drivers from the South, a large percentage of them are coming from Florida. And it's fascinating. One of the things that you see down here is the promoters at the various tracks that run asphalt late models. They've all now have a thing. You can bring your, they all, in their promotion for their late model races, super late model races, whatever, they all say, you can bring your ASA late model. So, I mean, it's like these guys are promoting your series, probably without even realizing they're promoting your series because they're trying to promote their own races. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And, you know, and I've talked to several of the tracks down there, and you're right. I mean, they allow ASA crate-style cars. And I've said to them, you know, if you just take a deep breath and say, you know, this is where we're going to go to, you know, and this is the rule package we're going to have, they would be successful at it. But, you know, sometimes change is a hard thing to swallow, and these guys have been running Biltmore stuff for so long they just can't let it go. And, you know, I'm sure they're afraid of the wrath of some of the more popular engine builders down in the Florida area and everything else. But if you believe in it and it works, then you just sometimes you got to bite the bullet and do it.
Exactly.
Some of the more popular engine builders in Florida got the wrath of ASA too.
Well, yes, they did, and you know, I mean, I think we set the precedent very early on that when we say don't mess with these motors or pay the price if you do. You know, we bounced a very well-known driver out of the series, and, you know, I've been getting threatened to be sued and everything else, but I'm going to stick to my guns and say, you know, if I catch you, you're done for good. It's the death penalty.
And that's
you have it in black and white, don't you?
Absolutely.
Well, and that's the thing that the drivers I talk to, and this has really be way beyond the ASA, just the race car drivers in general, one of the things I hear more and more and more all the time is, they really want, at any level of racing, they want tough tech because they know that it levels the playing field. And with money being harder and harder to get to keep this game going, they really do respect that. And I think that's a big part of your success, too.
Well, absolutely. I mean, you see teams like Rob Partlow, who won our first South Series race down at Bronson. I mean, here's a guy that, you know, comes week in and week out and works during the week to support his racing habit, and he comes out against all the money teams and everything else and wins the first event. I mean, that's what, you know, racing in a level series or level playing field can do for you.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy like Colt James in the Challenge Series who you know, works all week long just so he can go racing is second in points in our Challenge division.
Well, yeah. That's what Peter Cozzolino was saying, that if you got $1 million rig and three or four backup motors and three cars, a guy with one car, one motor can compete because they got the exact same motor and exact same car.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, you know, we've worked very hard to make sure that our rules packages and our engine packages are equal to allow anybody to come out and race. And it doesn't matter if you've got $1,000 or $1 million. You know, going on the racetrack, that you've got the exact same thing as the guy that starts next to you, and that's a huge thing. It's a huge mental thing for these drivers.
Right.
Well, you have
the only thing the money can buy now is a high dollar crew chief and a high dollar rig.
Yeah, and that's true. And you know, and I had a saying 5 years ago when I did this. I can't take these guys' wallets away from them, but I can tell them what they can spend, you know, on certain parts and pieces. And and, you know, it's true. I can't stop a millionaire from going out and having three cars or having five motors. But, those three cars and those three motors are the exact same thing as the other guy who's got one car and one motor. It's all the same stuff.
It's almost like the Alan Kulwicki syndrome. Alan Kulwicki in 1985 went to NASCAR and run with one car and two motors and won Rookie of the Year.
Right.
And that'll never be done again, of course, but that's what I like about your series, Ron. You can have another Alan Kulwicki.
Absolutely, and you know the driver developmental guys that I talk to all the time. You know, I pose the question to them: what is it about our series that makes you guys look at drivers in our series? And he said, "Look, you know, if a guy can come out and compete with you guys on a weekly basis and run in the top five, not even so much win, but just you know run in the top five consistently, we know he must be a pretty good driver because everybody else in the series has got the exact same thing." So he said, you know, it really makes the cream of the crop of drivers rise to the top, and your series separates that out better than any other one in the country.
And the qualifying times, you know, attest to that. I mean, they're very tight. And in the North right now, we were just talking to the two guys, Trent Snyder and Peter Cozzolino, and both of those guys are in the top five in points. And in the next 5 or 6 weeks, there's any one of a half a dozen guys who could win the Northern Division Championship, and the same thing is true in the South.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, that's you don't see, for lack of a better term, a runaway championship like, let's say, in the Busch Series where you got a guy who's got a 700-point lead and, you know, you're three-quarters of the way through the season and you know that championship's wrapped up already. Ours will more than likely go down to the last race and probably be in battling for positions to figure out who's going to end up winning the championship. And that's what creates the buzz and the excitement for the race fans.
So have you already started working on next year?
Absolutely, yes.
What?
Isn't there a question you wanted to bring up, Ron, about TV?
Well, yeah, I think I was actually leading into that, but I was wondering, like, when we were talking with Butch Miller last week, we couldn't get it out of him, but he said that you were working on some pretty big things for next year.
Yeah, we are. I think that you're going to see TV in some way, shape, or form, whether it's, you know, all the races, whether it's, you know, half of the season, or whether it's just two or three big shows. I think you're going to see that. We've got several big name sponsors on the line. You know, we could even see a rebranding of the ASA series into, you know, XYZ, ASA late model series. So, I mean, we've got a lot of big things on the horizon. You know, we've got another manufacturer stepping up to the game. You know, we'll get a foreign nameplate in there. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things going on behind the scenes right now. And, you know, we're working on some big-name tracks. We added Bristol this year, and I think you'll see another very, very big short track name in the series for next year.
Martinsville, maybe?
Maybe. I mean, you know, it's definitely a place that's on the radar, and we've had some preliminary talks with them, and I think that's a pretty good possibility.
Yeah, they have.
Ron, that foreign nameplate ain't Mercedes, is it?
Not Mercedes.
Well, you know, Martinsville would be great because they already have that huge late model stock race up there at the end of the year, and that draws tons of cars. It's a great place there.
Well, absolutely. I mean, to be honest with you, I was a little disappointed on the car count at Bristol. I'm not really sure what happened there. I mean, we ran it on a bias ply tire. I don't know if it was just a lot of people had fear of the unknown or they didn't want to take a chance on wrecking their stuff because they're in a point in the north or south. I'm not really sure what it was and why they didn't come, but, you know, I got to believe it. If we do sign that long-term contract with Bristol like we're hoping to, that we can grow the car count and get it to where, you know, they're going to be happy with it and we're going to be happy with it.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Ron, it's a combination of everything you said, because one of the things that we emphasized when we were doing shows about Bristol, Corey Schultz, the five-star, He was looking forward to it because he figured he'd sell a lot of body parts at the end of the day, you know. But I think that the fear of the unknown and also just being nervous about wrecking their car, I think he hit the nail on the head.
Yeah, and I think really after running as clean a race as we did up there at Bristol, I think everybody's going to take a step back and say, wow, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I mean, if you throw out the wheel failures that we had, we really only had one wreck during the whole race, and really it just, you know, a couple cars got smashed up, but other than that, there really wasn't a whole lot of anything there.
It was sure an exciting ending.
Absolutely. I mean, you hate it for the fact of Sean Murphy, you know, had to lose one like that, but boy, it goes right back to the old saying is, the race isn't over until you take the checkered flag.
That's the truth. That's absolutely the truth. And
you know, I felt bad for Butch, you know, for being the crew chief on that deal, and obviously I felt bad for Sean Murphy losing one, you know, within 300, you know, feet of the finish line. But it, like you said, it definitely makes for a good finish, and you know, that's racing sometimes.
Oh yeah.
Ron, you know, one of the things, you're obviously got your fingers on a lot of pulses around the country. How much does the current state of the economy, is it affecting stock car racing in terms of drivers and teams putting stuff together?
You know, honestly, I don't think as much it's affecting the teams as much as it's affecting the fan count. You know, I'll be honest with you, we started out the year at some of our shows of $15 to $18 tickets, and we would get a decent crowd, and about you know, midway through the season, I said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to run a $10 ticket for all these races that we're doing from an ASA late model standpoint. And we've seen an absolute increase in the amount of people. And, you know, people come up to us and say, you know, that show is worth way more than $10. And I said, yeah, but if I would have priced it at $18, would you have been here to see it? And they're like, no. I said, well, if I can sell it at $10 and I can fill the grandstands, then I'll do that just to have everybody come out and see what we're all about, see what we're doing.
So the tickets are
with you there. I think there was a track in Orlando, Jack, wasn't there, that gave away 17,000 tickets?
Orlando Speed World at Orlando. It's actually not in Orlando. It's way out east,
Bithlo,
outside of Orlando. But they have traditionally race on Friday, and they have just a horrendous time trying to get people to come in there. Great racetrack, and get lots of drivers, and they gave out 17,000 tickets a couple of weeks ago, pulled in about 3,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
And
well, I mean, you know, it goes back to the old saying of what's the most expensive seat in the house? It's the empty one.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I would rather, you know, give somebody a ticket for a dollar or give them a ticket for free just to fill that seat so that people can come in and get back to short track racing. I mean, there's honestly, you know, one thing that I have against TV is I think there's too much TV racing going on, and it's easier to sit at home in your lazy boy and flick the channel back and forth watching TV and whatever else. And you know, we just need to somehow reengage the fans to come back out and support local racing.
Well, that is Don Nerone. Don Nerone absolutely subscribes to that theory. He doesn't like TV at all. He'll do it. But he doesn't. He always says exactly the same thing. He's been saying that for a long time. I know when I promoted a race televised, the Florida Governor's Cup. Terry and I actually worked together on this project 10 years ago. Got the Florida Governor's Cup televised, the first time it had ever been done in 30 years. And Don wasn't real happy with it. He didn't want us to do it.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, It's good in a lot of ways, especially from a touring series standpoint, because it gives some teams the opportunity to try to go out and sell sponsorship. But in the grand scheme of things, if the fans feel they can sit home and watch it instead of going out to the races, you know, if it looks cloudy or if it's a really hot day, you know, why do they want to go out and take a chance? They'll just sit and watch it home on tape or a week later or whatever they need to do and not go.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. I understand. And another thing that I wanted to bring up about NASCAR doing some of their Saturday night shows, I really feel situations like your series and different things in the local short track, it really hurts the local people and the local series when they run the NASCAR races on Saturday night.
Well, and, we've done enough surveys, enough studies to know for a fact that it does hurt the crowd. You know, whether NASCAR says that they're friends of short track racing or whatever, how can you be when you're cutting the throat of the short track racers? I mean, if you look down their May schedule, every one of the races on is on a Saturday night. Well, that's the heart of, especially up here in the north, that's the heart of when everybody's, you know, opening their season. And, you know, the first 4 weeks of the of their season, they've got to go right up against, you know, a cup race on TV on Saturday night.
Well, it's to say it doesn't affect it would be absurd. I mean, if the NFL started playing football games on Friday night, high school attendances at high school games would drop like a rock. I mean,
for them to bury their head in the sand and say, oh, yeah, we're proponents of short track racing and everything else, you know, to just go and do that is just spitting in the face of these track owners that are trying to make a living and are cultivating their next stars.
Yeah, well, that's exactly. That's the way we've always seen it, too.
To pick out certain sponsors and try to steal them away from people like you and different places either.
Oh, I mean, you know, we've gotten through some inside sources that, you know, they've done some of that cherry picking, some sponsors that we've had on the line by offering them, you know, a heck of a lot more than we can offer them. You know, while we can't necessarily prove that, we know it goes on, and, you know, it's unfortunate that they feel that they, you know, they have to do that, squeeze every penny for themselves and not give us bottom feeders a little bit, but, I mean, that's the nature of the beast. That's business, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, hopefully that'll change one of these days with a different attitude. And but meanwhile, what are you looking forward to now? What's the big thing on your plate right now?
Well, I mean, we're getting ready to head out to Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Mile here this weekend, which is always a huge, traditionally big race for ASA. I mean, it has been for a lot of years, and you know, we get to run with the ARCA boys, and we have some teams that. That are looking for new drivers, maybe move them up into ARCA and get them in a different driver developmental program. So that's always a big thing. And then we've got our Georgia Doubles weekend coming up, which that ended up actually turning into a pretty big weekend for us with rain and smoke out there in South Georgia Motorsports Park earlier in the year. So we got a Friday and a Saturday race at South Georgia and then up at Noya Speedway. So that should be pretty big.
Yeah. Is your schedule going to be pretty much the same next year, Ron, as it is this year? Are you got new venues, or you got more races? What are you looking at for next year?
Well, I would say that you'll probably see 80-90% return on all the races you got this year. We may end up dropping a couple events that just didn't either work for us logistically or something else. And then obviously, if we add on a place like Martinsville or something like that, you know, those going to be new add-on dates. You know, with the Music City Motorplex being up in the air the way it is, that's always a question mark on the schedule. And you know, we've been working on a contingency plan. If the All-American 400 should not happen next year, you may see a very big-name racetrack replace that All-American 400 weekend. So,
all right.
Are you going to do any me and Jack have talked to a lot of drivers and our own opinions that ASA – is a short track series.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm even, you know, the Milwaukee Mile, sure, that's a traditional track, and A.J. Foyt's been there, and the Unsers and everybody. But, Ron, in just my opinion as a reporter, I would really love to see the ASA stay in a short track series. You're not looking to do any more, like, mile or above tracks, are you, or are you pretty much...
You're not going to Talladega next week, right?
No, Talladega, no.
No. I mean, you know, we are a short track series, and we'll always remain a short track series. You know, I believe that, you know, Milwaukee's probably going to be the biggest place you ever see us on, and, you know, anybody that's familiar with Milwaukee knows it's really just a short track on steroids. They've stretched out a little bit, but, you know, it's big and flat, and, you know, it's not got that scary speed to it, and, you know... I mean, you know, we're going faster at places like Iowa Speedway and Bristol, you know. So, you know, I don't foresee us now going to places like Kentucky Speedway or anything like that. You know, although we've had some offers to do that, I just think that at this point in time, you know, we're going to stay with our roots and what ASA was started out as, and that's, you know, primarily, you know, the short tracks around the country.
There you go.
That's good.
Do you feel better now, Terry?
Yes, I feel better.
All right, good. Thank you.
Being a traditionalist.
Ron, thank you very, very much for spending some time with us here. You know, it's Terry has not been to any of the races yet. We were still trying to hook him up, but, you know, I've been to three or four of them. I've been to four races, and it's always fun. And the guys, these youngsters, we've been interviewing, we've probably interviewed 30 or 40 of these guys, and it's amazing. The kids are, almost all of them are very well spoken, and they do a good job not only representing themselves but representing your series. And I think all around you got a good package going, man.
Well, we appreciate it, and we'll get Terry out to one of these races and really make him a believer in what we're doing.
There you go.
In my opinion, it's some of the best racing out there. So,
if I had a little gas money, go to Milwaukee this week.
We'll see what we can do. Thanks
all
a lot, Ron.
Thanks, Ron.
Okay, guys, thank you very much.
We'll talk to you soon.
Hey, Forrest, and tell her that she got saved this time by you for being on the radio.
Okay, guys.
All right. Thanks,
anytime.
Ron.
Anytime. All right, bye-bye. Anytime, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, there you have it.
Ron Varney.
I told you we were going behind the green door.